Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Robert Pilinke's work life has been with children in schools, communities, and institutions. For 15 years, his office was in a Vermont forest where children and parents would come for a day or so to think through their personal or family issues. On retirement in 1995, Robert began a series of visits to Haiti and Russia in order to learn how young people may be helped to grow up when natural families are unavailable. He has written several books, taught at Harvard, Boston University, and Concordia University, was the founding dean of Goddard College's individualized master's degree program. Recently, he embarked on a study of his family's history. A wise and witty innovator in psychology and education, the retired clinical psychologist is the author of Cap'n Bob's Adventures in Child Psychology. Stories of Robert's work with children in various settings, camps and communities, housing projects, institutions in the U.S., Haiti, and Russia. And Robert Pilinke is our guest on This Week in America. Robert, a pleasure, sir. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Rick.
It is such an important book from your perspective, and time is going to go by oh so quickly in the program. We'll give you information where you can get a copy of the book as well, but let's start by talking about why you decided to write this book. Why did you feel your experiences were such that we really needed to understand them?
Well, let me put it this way, Rick. I kind of drifted into psychology through being a camp counselor, beginning when I was in high school. I guess the first time I was a camp counselor, I was 14 years old, and I was a junior assistant, low-level camp counselor. And I rose up through the ranks, becoming a swimming counselor eventually, and a waterfront director. The most interesting of those experiences was at a camp for blind children, the New Jersey Camp for Blind Children. And that was fascinating. Let me put it this way. I was an English major in college. I had no idea, no interest particularly in psychology. But I got really quite involved with the blind kids. And still, I was not sure what I wanted to go into. And at the end of, I think it was my third summer working at the camp, I spoke to the assistant director of the New Jersey camp for the New Jersey institution for the blind.
Yes.
And said, "I don't know what I want to do with my life. What do you suggest I do?" And she said, "Well, you should become a psychologist in the field of the blind." I said, "What an interesting idea. I think I might actually try that." So I enrolled at Columbia University, got all my credentials straight, and I spent 1 year working for the New Jersey Commission for the Blind as a kind of a low-level psychologist, very interesting work. And unfortunately, I never worked with the blind after that. I got into all sorts of other things. Most of which are in the book that we're talking about.
Yeah, the book is Cap'n Bob's Adventures in Child Psychology. With us on the program is the author, Robert Pilinke, and that's B-E-L-E-N-K-Y. Great stories in the book, what he was able to do in taking this dedication, this passion he has to work with children. I talked about the locations, Haiti and Russia. Let's talk about that. You talked about in the field of psychology. You were a psychologist and worked a lot in the field rather than an office. What appealed to you about the outdoors? Mentioned the camp that you worked in for a number of years. The outdoors really is a setting that appeals to you, isn't it?
Well, yes, it was. I would say more general than the outdoors, the idea of being out in the world, being in the community, being with families, being in neighborhoods. Working with, well, some of the work that I thought was very interesting was working in a housing project in Boston, on one side of a street, all the residents were white, and on the other side, all the residents were black. And, we worked together with both groups, and, with our help, I guess, our encouragement, they took over, and with the agreement of the housing authority, they took over a basement in one of the housing projects in the on the black side of the street, and they ran a preschool, a daycare center for the very young children. And then that enlarged into something else when we encouraged them to bring in neighborhood teenagers to help them run the preschool. The teenagers were actually our target population. They were kids who were considered bad kids in school. They were having a hard time in school, and we gave them something constructive to do with supervision, both from the parents and from us. We were consulting with the parents, and the parents were consulting with the teenagers. So it was that kind of complex thing that I really got into. And after that, I worked as a community mental health psychologist through the Harvard Graduate School of Education in a neighborhood with a very high crime rate and a high delinquency rate, and also where a motorcycle gang hung out, and I got involved with a motorcycle gang.
Wow.
I've never ridden a motorcycle gang, a motorcycle, but I was considered a good guy as far as they were concerned. One very brief anecdote. You got to stop me because I could drivel on. And
I love the story, so go ahead.
All kinds of details. But we had moved after years in Boston, 11 years, my wife and I lived in Boston. After all this work with the motorcycle gangs and the poor people and all that, we moved to Vermont, where I got this job working at Goddard College. And one day, my wife and I and her mother, a very sweet, intelligent old lady, were sitting in the living room minding our own business, talking and chatting in the evening, when all of a sudden we heard coming up our dirt road the roar of many motorcycles. The motorcycle gang descended on our house, our little tree house. They marched in, and they announced that they were having a squabble within their gang, and they had come all the way from Boston to have me arbitrate. So they came in, they took over the house. One group said one thing, and the other group said another thing, and they argued and they fought. They didn't fight physically, they argued. And finally they settled it, they shook hands. They went into our kitchen. I invited them in, and they grabbed everything in the refrigerator, gobbled it down, left, hopped on their motorcycle, and roared away into the night. And that was the last I saw of my motorcycle gang.
There are so many stories like that in Robert's book, Captain Bob's Adventures in Child Psychology. Robert Belenky, B-E-L-E-N-K-Y, is our guest on the program. When you look back, as you're writing the book and all these memories come rushing back to you, how do you evaluate what you did, your service, your work? Were you able to touch lives in the way you hoped to when this all began for you?
Well, nothing was ever perfect.
Real life.
There were ragged edges. It was real life. On the other hand, what I was really measuring it against was a more conventional approach to psychology of the sort that I learned in graduate school. And what I was really interested in was not so much looking into the individual, not so much looking into the twists and turns of an individual person's psyche, but rather viewing the person as part of a larger group, whether it was a family or a community or a school, or a camp where people interact with other people, and to think about the individual as part of the group, and the group as a function of individuals, rather than something intrapsychic, if that makes any sense. So that's what I tried to do. You see, having come into psychology through not only camping, but I might say that, I began the book talking about my early life. My early life, because my mother was an educator, a progressive educator, a follower of John Dewey, and all kinds of stuff like that. I was sent to very interesting progressive schools, schools run by disciples of John Dewey's, where the kind of psychology that I finally ended up practicing and advocating was very much in the air. The stress on community, the stress on affiliating with something larger than the private self, seeing the self as part of other selves. So it I don't know if I'm making myself clear.
Yes, I understand.
I'm trying to say complicated things quickly, but you know, when you're in a children's camp, you think about the cabin, the children, the cabin. There's a spirit of the cabin, and it isn't the particular child who is focused on, but there are competitions between the cabin, between groups. For example, in the Camp for the Blind, the New Jersey Camp for Blind Children, which was, as I say, a formative experience for me professionally and personally. We had a Boy Scout camp down the road, and the Boy Scouts came to the camp to watch the blind children in the water, and the blind kids picked up the condescension that was in the air from the Boy Scouts, that they were taking pity on them, and the kids were sensitive to this. And our kids, several of them, were very good swimmers. So one kid says to me, he says, "Let's challenge those Boy Scouts to swimming meet." So we did that, and the Boy Scouts agreed. We had a swimming meet, and our kids were practicing and taking it very seriously. I don't know what the Boy Scouts were thinking, but we had the meet, and the blind kids beat the Boy Scouts.
Good. I was hoping that was going to be the outcome. I mean, just such great stories in Robert's book, Captain Bob's Adventures in Child Psychology, Robert Belenky, B-E-L-E-N-K-Y. So many stories in the book. Go ahead, finish that thought, please.
I was going to say you should call me Bob because I'm identifying myself as Captain Bob in the book. And the reason I'm Captain Bob is that in our place in the woods, we had two canoes and a sailfish. And that was it. We had three boats, so I was the captain. And that's how I got to be Captain Bob.
Well, Bob Belenky then is our guest on the program. And that gives you a warm feeling for what Captain Bob was able to do in working with these young people, not only in the United States. I mentioned Haiti and in Russia, and we'll talk about that here in a second. What do you hope people take away when they read your stories, your reflections? You're capturing the spirit of these young people, not only here, but in Haiti and in Russia. What do you hope the takeaway is? What do you hope we learn?
Well, it's, I don't know. There's a kind of attitude that I think is valuable that one can come away with when working with people from a very different background.
Yes.
If you get close to people, It's not just a question of poverty people, people who are living in poverty, or people who are of a different race, or a different country, speak a different language. So if you get close enough to other people, many of these things that I was listing begin to appear superficial. You begin to feel something in common with these people who initially seem to be so different from such a different world. I found it, I was going to say, I found it particularly interesting in Haiti, but that's making Russia sound less interesting, but both were interesting. But a newer experience for me really was Haiti, where I became very close to a lot of children, a lot of people who are working with children, doing very imaginative work with kids, trying to learn something from the Western, the American and British.
Yes.
French experiences, but also inventing their own and doing things that we would do well to emulate. So and to be able to see the full humanity of people who we had we normally view as being very different from ourselves. In Russia, it was the same thing, although different in the sense that. My family came from Russia, and my father's generation and my maternal grandfather's generation. So I heard a lot about Russia growing up, and we were Russian Jews. So we were kind of the outgroup in Russia. Going back to Russia, and also my father coming to America, returned to Russia because he was a Yiddish speaker, and he became an agricultural expert going back to Russia, teaching Jews how to be farmers. Jews were forbidden to be farmers, so he became an educator also. But going back to Russia, after the revolution, and Russia, of course, was our enemy and so on. But to break through all of that and to find that, I mean, it's trite to say this. You may be expecting world-shaking insights from this, but you work on this kind of level and you find that people are people. I
mean, it's very
trite.
And that's one thing that comes across is we may think there are great differences out there. People are people. And it's a book of love and how we see the world through your eyes and what you were able to go through. I've got a couple of minutes left in the program. It's gone by way too quickly. Our guest on the program is Robert Belenke. The book is Cap'n Bob's Adventures in Child Psychology. Book available at Amazon, GothamBooksInc.com. Gotham Books, bringing good books to life. And all this is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What impact has this made on you? As I see you in the book, the joy that it brings you, the peace that it brings you, the love that it brings you in working and sensing your changing lives. And you have fun with the kids too. This is what a therapist having fun with the children. What's this been like for you?
You know, you picked up on really the central issue. It's been incredibly enjoyable to me. I'm restless in retirement. I miss it all. May I read a little piece
sure, go
from the book.
Yes, please.
That I think is sort of illustrative of the point that you're making. It was the winter of 2005. I rode into town on the bed of a pickup truck that was loaded with American volunteers. The truck drove us from La Vallée, way up the mountains, way up in the mountains where our program was held, down to Jacmel, the beautiful Haitian coastal city. I descended the truck. A middle-aged fellow came up to me and said, "I know you. Where's your daughter?" His smile revealed several black holes that had once contained teeth. He was peddling Cuban cigars. He displayed them in a tray that he held in front of them. "But," I said, "I'm afraid I don't remember you." "Ah," he explained, "you and your daughter visited Jacmel in 1980. You hung around with us kids. They called me T. Frere then, little brother. I was 7 years old." "Yes," I said vaguely, searching my memory. "I do remember, of course. You look different now, T. Frere." Alice was 21 at the time. She had become interested in Haitian culture. With some anxiety mixed with a sense of adventure, I had accompanied her to protect her, I told myself. And it goes on from there.
That but, really yes, thank you for reading that, because that captures the essence of what we've been talking about in the program.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the time has gone by way too quickly. Hopefully we can do a part two or part three or part four of this and get more of the story that that Robert tells in his book, Cap'n Bob's Adventures in Child Psychology, with us on the program, the author, Robert Belenky. That's B-E-L-E-N-K-Y. The book at GothamBooksInc.com. Of course, Amazon, all of the usual places. Cap'n Bob, thank you for joining us on the program. You talk about your ancestors here, and that's fascinating. And I understand you're doing studying family history now. Is that the next book you're working on?
Well, yeah, you might say so. Although this book starts with the whole thing about my family.
Yes.
Early. So I have nothing to do. I'm retired, so there's nothing to do but sit and write.
Well, that's good, because you can touch other people and help other people, and it's so enlightening. It's such an innovator in education as well as in psychology. Robert Belenky, our guest on the program. If you're Googling B-E-L-E-N-K-Y, the book Cap'n Bob's Adventures in Child Psychology, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. It's been wonderful.
Been a pleasure to have you on the program. And again, the book available, Amazon. You'll find it at GothamBooksInc.com, bringing good books to life, all the usual places. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.